and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am back. I apologize that this episode was about, at this point, a week delayed. I lost my voice real big, guys, like real big. Like, not like it went away for a day or two. Like, I fully went to holiday events and whispered and no noise came out of my mouth. I had to go to the ENT to be like, is this permanent? Like, what's happening? I have been in trouble vocally for, oh my God, is it 2 weeks now? That's bad, guys. That's really bad. I'm finally getting better. It's still like I'm in a lower register, so I can't quite hit the same notes. I'm like talking, I sound like a different person, and I feel like I sound more authoritative because, you know, when people send a lot of exclamation points in their emails, people clown on them. That's essentially my style of speaking out loud, and I don't have that upper register, like the giggly sounds anymore. I'm just down here, and I'm working with it. I feel like I got a blunt haircut, you know, like I got like a sharp bob, but just with my voice. However, there's no permanent damage. It didn't look great when the doctor looked at it, but she's like, it's coming back. Just be patient. If you're a subscriber on Instagram, you already know this, but the doctor told me to drink water, which already is a problem for me. Avoid caffeine, which I'm quite literally drinking out of a bucket of coffee right now. Literally, it's a bucket. It has a handle. It's a whole thing. And she also said to go on vocal rest, which is impossible for moi. I have been out every night and like not partying. I have been actually completely not staying out late and not drinking because I knew to get through this month to have my voice back, I would need everything in my power. I've just been like socializing. So like the talking has been rough, but I'm here and I am going to record this podcast over a few different days to make sure that hopefully my voice stays intact enough where it sounds okay. I know I don't fully sound like myself and I know that is jarring in an audio format. So for that, I apologize, but I'm here and know that if the enthusiasm is not coming through my hemorrhaged vocal cords, not good to have someone stick a scope through your nose and down your throat, like when you learned about mummification in third grade, and have them be like, oh yeah, I see hemorrhaging. That's not a word you want to hear when your job is like kind of your vocal cords now. I don't write as much as I speak out loud. So, oops, guess I should take care of my instrument. And I don't. I also haven't been drinking any water and just coffee. It's fine. December is one long party and I just want to be socializing all the time. Speaking of, why do I always stumble when I say it on the podcast and not in real life? The Warner Brothers Studio Tour Hollywood Gilmore Girls activation is alive. It is happening. I have gone twice already by the time I'm recording this. By the time you listen to this, I will have gone three times. I have a problem and it's that I love to have fun. Okay. I love the theme environment and I can't help myself, but we got some calls after that episode from people who are planning on going and had some questions. I have been holding those specifically for whatever this episode was. And now that we know it is a Churros Hotline episode, I will be playing those during the show. I will get your questions answered. But once again, I love nothing more than getting in my car, driving 18 to 22 minutes and being in Stars Hollow. It blows my mind. Los Angeles is the most amazing city in the world. I can't believe that like real art is made here. Again, I will go off on a tangent. Los Angeles is an artist's city. And I swear by that. This week, we have so many churros calls I'm meaning to get to. I'm so excited to share them with you. So stick around. I hope that this makes your time waiting in TSA, drive to a relative's house, long train journey, last minute errands to go get a bunch of vegetables that you forgot for some holiday meal, a thing you listen to while you are spending way too long getting ready for New Year's Eve, which is something I typically do. I hope wherever you are this holiday season, this episode brings you joy and warmth and not the high ear piercing octaves I'm used to, but still as much enthusiasm as I can muster. Stick around. We have such a great show for you. I can't wait to talk to you even more. Happy holidays. Happy everything.
Becky!
Carly!
We are together, everyone. We are together aboard the Disney Destiny. We are using these newfangled mics that I purchased for this moment, basically.
This is
because
awesome.
We had that mic fail the other time
we
at Disneyland.
We did.
You're so sweet to say we. Becky's joining in on the failure. It was all me.
We are in this together, girl. We are always in this together. This is how this works. You and I holding hands and trying to make mics work.
We're like the end of Rogue One, you and I.
Precisely. Precisely.
But in a much happier setting, because we are talking about saving money on a future vacation.
Saving money and on what is supposed to be or going to be an amazing vacation as we sit in the location we're in.
Yeah. I mean, y'all are going to hear about it when you hear this, but it's dope. It is a good shoot.
Yep. Oh, wow.
But you have some money-saving stuff for us, don't you?
We always do, don't
we? I love it. You truly float in. Yeah. You float in and you're like, want to save money on a trip? I got you. I'll do the work. I'll go on go.com. I don't mind.
And the hard part is there's so many right now. And I have to warn you, it's going to get even better because this little known thing called Black Friday is right around the corner. And suppliers right now are already starting to leak what to look forward to. So I have a little bit of that for you in a second, too. First of all, let's start with the new one that just came out, which is the Disney Plus subscribers. If you're enrolled in their Disney Plus perks, now it is different. You have to actually enroll in the perks program, but you can get a special 3-day, 3-park ticket to select theme parks for starting at $109 per day.
Ooh!
Which, that's a big deal, of
that's
course.
A big,
so
that's a big deal.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you get into Disney Perks, and of course, they don't just do tickets there. Disney Perks allows for all kinds of discounts. So if you're not subscribed yet, do so, because that'll give you one. There are a couple of opportunities too with that same package. It's the dates are January 12th to May 22nd that you can actually use those. But you can also upgrade to their stay and play package, which also gets you an additional discount. So perks there for you.
Heck yeah.
That's number one. Number two, we still have Walt Disney World up on the save up to $250 per night on a 4-night, 4-day room and ticket package. $250 per night.
That's a lot of money. That's cold hard cash.
Exactly. And it is still available right now. And that's going to be available for most days, February 22nd, all the way to July 25th. So,
we're out here saving money in summer.
You're saving money in summer. And this is unusual. We don't usually see the summer come out until January and sometimes February. So for it to be available now, you can get ahead of it and get the hotel that you want.
Summer vacation is holiday gift. Bing, bang, boom, you're done.
Exactly. So that's one of those things. Holiday gifts, you get it for your family, of course, but you get to go too. So it's actually a gift for yourself.
Thank you so much, Becky. We have so much more in store in the next break. So everybody, stick around.
Hi, Carly. I am in quite the predicament, and I cannot think of a better person to help me out with this one. So I'm going to a conference in the Orlando area, and when I inquired about seeing if I could fly down early or stay late, I found out I actually have to travel with my team, which means I can't go down early to get a true park day in. This means that what I'm left with is kind of hoping that I get in early enough where I could run somewhere in the morning and maybe even get a park day in, or what's probably going to actually happen in that I have some time late night after the conference closes, after any dinners, to try to just get some semblance of Disney or Universal magic in. I already checked and there's no extra magic hours at the Disney parks for my dates. So I'm just wondering what you would do in the situation. What would be your best quick hit of some theme park magic if you, say, only have from 9 p.m. to midnight to get something in? This is January, so could be a slower season where things aren't open as late. I know I could struggle to get into Trader Sam's. We no longer have the beloved late jelly rolls. Shout out to Podcast The Ride. So I just need something that'll make me be able to check that box and not just be itchy the whole time knowing the parks are near and I am not there. Thank you so much for all the joy you bring us with your podcast. I appreciate it.
You are in a predicament no more because, yeah, this is an issue and I am the right person to help you here. Now, this is truly exciting. This is the type of thing that I like wake up every day hoping to think about, because if you are that close, and I don't know if this is playing before or after a Disney Cruise Line call in this episode yet. I'm not sure of the placement. I have a problem where if I'm in Orlando, if I'm near, I have to go to a theme park. That's why sailing out of Port Canaveral can be tricky for me. But I get it. If you're there, you gotta see something. You gotta scratch that itch. And I am here to solve this problem for you, okay? We're gonna give you something. We're gonna give you different options to make sure you're covered. Because worst case scenario, we're just gonna be on property and fart around. We have to at least like smell the rarefied air of a Walt Disney World resort hotel. Now, you mentioned your trip is in January. You mentioned 9 p.m. being your start time, which I know is a little flexible, but you're kind of like assuming after a work dinner, then you'd go out. 9 p.m. being your start time is a little troublesome because the parks not be running that late in January. Like, I remember back in the day when they would be open forever, but they are closing earlier than you would think. And it stinks, dude. It stinks. I'm seeing like 9 p.m. is the latest closure across the board for weeks. And 9 a.m. is the earliest, well, 8 a.m. in Animal Kingdom, but 9 a.m. for the other parks for opening, which is bananas. Like, the earliest opening in Animal Kingdom is 8 a.m. So before, depending on when your work starts, you can squeeze in like an ounce of magic if you rope drop. But I don't feel good banking on that. So we're going to focus on nighttime. Now, if we are going to squeeze our way into a park, and I'm playing by annual pass holder rules, if you are buying a ticket, play it by ear. I don't want you to be sitting on the ticket, but I also don't want you to spend $100 and some just to be in a park at 8:58 p.m. Now, the trick to squeezing a lot of juice out of a very, very short park visit is to make sure that you're not wasting any time doing anything you don't absolutely want to do. You probably want to have a little snacky, which is not an issue. You can always get something Disney on the way out. Like, there's always a way to find a food. But I mean, when the park closes, the food options are smaller, but there's still stuff we can do. But you want to go on a ride. We got to be going on a ride. And so you want to go on the easiest, oldest ride that gives you enough glee, maybe not the most glee. Maybe we're not going on a brand new roller coaster, but we still are going on something that brings you joy without wasting time in line or wasting time on the ride. We're thinking Grand Fiesta Tour at Epcot, something like Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover or The Little Mermaid at Magic Kingdom, probably Star Tours at Disney's Hollywood Studios, a ride that's pretty easy to get on late at night, that won't waste too much time, that gets you in and out, and you're able to do a little more before you have to leave. Now, if food is your priority, a lot of things can close right when the park closes, so make sure you factor that in. But there's nothing like the adrenaline of running to get a snack real quick and then bopping in that line right before the park closes, because that is something special. So if you don't want to play it too close, I don't want you to like mess up your job. I'm worried about a 9 a.m. park opening, you getting in and doing stuff and getting out in time and like getting back, because I don't know where in Orlando all of this work stuff is happening. But I do want to mention one other thing for late night, because that's the plan I'm going with. I know you said there were no extra magic hours like those hotel hours, but since it is January, that's a month when they do those Disney after hour events. And those events are 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And if one of those is on any night of your trip and you can buy a ticket to that, it would be like the feeling of 100 correct Tetris pieces falling into position. Just double check to see if any of that popped up, because if there is one of those ticketed events while you're there, caffeine can keep you awake. If you're out late, it's fine. But at 10 p.m. to a 1 a.m., nobody even has to know you went. Nobody even has to know. And similarly, I'm not sure what your checkout situation is because you're traveling with your team, but what do you do in the morning that you travel? Because if you're flying at like, I don't know, like noon, like if you're meeting your team at 10, you might be able to squeeze something in the morning. You might be able to squeeze a Mickey waffle at a hotel in. Just saying. So if you can't make it to the park, I want to let you know I do have a contingency plan for you. So if everything goes straight to heck, we have two late night options. The first one, we go to Disney Springs. Again, not ideal, not the full theme park vibe, but there is enough like Rainforest Cafe, volcano, big design moments and cookies for sale that'll scratch some sort of itch. And number two, I'm going to send you to Old Faithful. The monorail resorts. Even if you roll up so late that the bars are closed and Trader Sam's is impossible to get into, the dining locations are typically open until midnight. Something like Gasparilla Island Grill at the Grand Floridian is open that late. I've never not seen it open until midnight. And if you get there so late that you can't do what you want, you can always go to the Grand Floridian, take in the lobby, which is like so quaint at night, walk around, get a Mickey bar, and then take the monorail from resort to resort and soak up the vibes. It doesn't seem like it would be enough, but I'm telling you, it's enough. Getting like a bite and a ride is what a quick trip needs. And that's a bite and a ride, even though you're not inside the park. You can see the castle. Like, you're not going to feel like, oh, I'm almost there. You're going to feel like you really are there. Now, I will flag, If you want to go the Trader Sam's route, to me, Trader Sam's is so indoors that I don't get my like Disney fix from it, but I know other people do, so I don't want to be rude. But Captain Cook's, which is the quick service at Disney's Poly, that is also open till midnight, but it's not the same. That place does not have the same vibe as Gasparilla Iron Grill to me. I love Gasparilla and I always will. Now, if you can't get into Trader Sam's and that's something you really wanted to do, remember Tambu Lounge just upstairs is also open until 10 and you get a view of the lobby, you can get a fun drink and it really will feel like you are at the Poly. Don't forget they also sell Dole Whip at the Poly downstairs. I think it's called Pineapple Lanai. I think they are also open till around 10. So you can maybe get like a little Dole Whip, a little fix and get your Disney magic. If you are ending at like 10:30 and you're like, I just need to see it, go to the Monorail Resorts. The Monorail will be running. If you go around that time, you will get a little bit of Disney. I hope that was helpful. I mean, I don't want to recommend too much that would get you in trouble with your job, but if you're there, you gotta see Disney. And sometimes that just means taking an expensive Uber back and forth to a hotel. I did that on a recent trip. I spent a lot of money on an Uber back and forth just to walk around Disney's boardwalk. I went to Cake Bake Shop. This was like months ago. You guys know this. And it was like enough. I was just like, my feet need to touch the ground. My feet need to touch the ground and then I'll be back. And it was all I needed. And it was fantastic. So I hope you do the same. Please call back and let me know how it goes. I'm so excited for you. And like, yeah, again, just a little bit of magic. Just a little bit of magic is all you need. And you know what? Okay. Another idea. If morning is the best, if you're like, I have to be at work at 10, but I'm waking up at 6 a.m. I can make anything happen. Why don't you go to Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge? Go get like a coffee and like a Disney cup, like a Disney Parks cup. Get a coffee at that hotel and then go see the animals at the hotel. That is your morning contingency plan. I mean, you could go to the monorail hotels, but I feel like, okay, I know I'm going off on a tangent. I feel like if you're going in the morning and getting a fix, the hotel doesn't do it. The hotel, really? Oh my God, I'm going way too deep on this. The magic and allure of being like, wow, I'm at Disney, I'm at a hotel. I think it raises at nighttime. And I think early in the morning is the worst time to visit a hotel because you're going to be surrounded by people rushing to get to the park. And that would make me jealous. I wouldn't feel that way at Animal Kingdom because I'd be like, we have animals here too. So that's a little more magical. It's also like a little tricky to get to those Monterey hotels via Uber, I believe, in the morning. So yeah, Animal Kingdom Lodge, get a coffee, pick up something to like bring on the plane to be like, I made it. You know, like Mickey-shaped goldfish crackers, stuff like that. And then you see an animal and you'd be like, wow, this is majestic. I love it here. That is my plan for you. Let me know how it goes. I love a little adventure. I love it. Thank you for calling. These are the type of calls I live for.
Hey, Carly, longtime listener, first time caller. Phones are terrifying, but you keep encouraging us to call. So I finally got my act together enough to do that. Currently at DCA, enjoying a Prosecco and a sunburn on my first like solo Disney time ever, which has been pretty cool. Anyway, I guess after a lot of listening, a few things have built up that I wanted to call about. You mentioned, I don't know, a few episodes ago, ADHD-related stuff. I guess I'll say I'm a 35-year-old professional, and I was just diagnosed with it a few months ago, and medication has been a really interesting change, and executive function coaching has been really cool. It's interesting to have someone to talk to just to help strategize how to deal with, like, cheesy stuff like how do I go to bed on time and how do I get myself to sit in one place and work on something and like how do I keep my notes in one place so they're not overwhelming. Anyway, you know, if you haven't looked into it, I would say it's been really helpful for me and it's totally worth doing. Okay, two other things. The people demand a review of the Davy Crockett canoes. You said you'd never do it, but you got to get those arm workouts in and there is no better way than doing that. Plus, there's a whole bunch of theme park humor that you've never heard because you've never been on it. So just think, there's another quantum of information that you're missing out on. Okay, and the last, in preparation for this trip, I was going through your latest Disneyland episode and realized what I really want is your guide to your favorite popcorn hookups. I know you said anything that looks fresh, and that's what I'm trying to follow, but you've mentioned, like, your favorite carts in the past, and I would love all the details on that. Anyway, I love listening to the podcast. Really got the parasocial relationship. Every time I travel, I'm listening. Anyway, it's incredible. Hope you're having a great weekend. See you later. Sorry. See you real soon. Bye.
Hi. Okay. There are so many fun, tiny questions in here. And I jotted them down to hopefully not miss any. But if I miss any, you also have ADHD, so you get it. And I will do my best. Now, I know to everyone listening to this, I know picking up a phone is terrifying. I have to call a doctor about something this week. I'm recording this on a Saturday. I have to call on Monday. I'm already dreading it. It's 2 days away and I'm already like, I have to pick up the phone once. And I even love this doctor and I love the people at the front desk and I'm already dreading it. So I am with you. Calling the Truist hotline is not easy, but I know that. I know that and I promise it is worth it. This is a safe space. If you need to call multiple times, if you need to call six times to get the words out, that's fine. I only listen to the most recent one because I get it. Also, if it's easier for you to like jot down some notes before you call, that is totally fine too. I can't believe y'all just used to like leave messages. Like when, I guess there was no social media. So there was no like ADHD social media back when people had landlines. So I'm curious what it was like for people with ADHD a while ago when they had to just call around for stuff. That must have been hard. And I don't give them enough empathy. That would have been bad. But I want the Truist hotline to be a safe space. So why don't we all use the Truist hotline like a gym, like a mental health club for, I guess, like exercising our phone functionality, because Lord knows I need to do that too. And many of us could get more used to using phones. I don't like it. I don't like it. It stresses me out, but we are so used to using our phones for typey-typey that, I mean, today I did submit an email inquiry instead of calling a company I really need to call. Again, I'm learning. I get it. I get the struggle. But we should all help each other through because I need help also. I was watching Bones because I'm in a Bones phase again. I was watching Bones a few days ago and one of the characters picked up a phone to order Thai food over the phone. And there is an allure to getting things done over the phone. I kind of miss that. Like, what if we just rebrand it as chic instead of scary? Like, I don't need to always order through like a DoorDash, like picking up a phone. Ooh, glamorous. I think we can reframe the idea of doing it. That's just how I feel. Now, executive function coaching sounds very cool. And also like it's something I need. I'm going to look into this because I have never used it. And I definitely could. Isn't it wild how so many of us like have this little trait, like this little thing in our bodies that makes it impossible for us to do extremely basic stuff, but huge big picture stuff we can like totally nail and it's fine. We don't even think about it. Like a perfect example, like the fact that like your brain when you are on the right meds is so different because I am hard at work on Amusapalooza. Like the to-do list be Santa-esque. And I made a huge like breakdown of different tasks on my whiteboard in my office. And I realized this week that my handwriting when I'm on my meds versus when I'm not is completely different. So like think about what that's like on a regular day-to-day functionality basis. Like when you have ADHD or, I mean, many other things, I'm sure this is applicable. There's so many things in life that you have to work so hard to maintain normalcy in. And you just get so used to that. You just like get so used to that little silent struggle. So I'm very glad you got the assistance you need and basically informed me that this exists because I need to do that too. Because I cannot manage time. I am time blind and I could get better at it. The only thing I'm going to ask is that in your process of learning to focus more, maybe focus a little less on encouraging me to go on the canoes, because I'm not going on the canoes. I'm not going on the canoes. Oh, hold on 1 second. Pearl's here.
You got to speak into the mic.
You want to say hi?
Hi.
You want to say welcome to Very Music?
Yeah, my new thing.
You like the mic cover?
Listen.
Yeah. It's squishy, right? Do you want to sing your reindeer song?
No, I don't want
to. No, you don't want to?
Pearl, why don't you tell the listeners your favorite ride?
What's your favorite ride?
I'm Frozen.
Frozen? Instead of It's a Small World? What about the Mater ride?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that tomorrow?
I don't want to go on it.
What's your favorite food at Disneyland? Pearl, what's your favorite food?
Chicken.
Chicken? Oh, the fried chicken we get at Plaza Inn? You like that?
And the cake.
And the cake. Yeah, that was a good meal. That cake. I remember that cake. You loved that. All right, baby. Can you say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Honestly, I can't think of a better example of what ADHD is like. It's like a thought bursting in the door and being like, I'm here. And then everything stops for it. And you're like, wait, how did I get here? What's going on? Where was I? That, my friends, is a regular day in my brain. Now, I don't want to forget to comment on the last question you had, which is your favorite popcorn hookups. I actually listened to your call before I went to Disneyland a few days ago and was thinking about this while I was there because I have gotten popcorn twice at the front hub at Disneyland, which the front hub popcorn stand in Magic Kingdom is my favorite. I've gotten it twice there lately, and it wasn't that good. So I'm kind of sworn off of that one. Now I am like, now I'm determined to get you a fully accurate answer, but I think I'm leaning more towards the one by Small World. It's never failed me, and it's usually pretty good as long as it's not empty. If it's empty, I stay away, but like that one or the one, there's one kind of between the castle and Small World. That one I think is also good. At DCA, I've had like mediocre popcorn DCA. My gut is telling me to go to the one that's closer over by Soarin'. That's probably the next one I will try again, but I usually am already getting it at Disneyland by the time I'm at DCA, so I've already gotten it. That's what I'm going to say. Those are the ones I'm going to be standing behind. I'm going to test those out in upcoming weeks because, you know, I'm going to the park a lot because I love the holiday lights and I want to see them again and again and again. But yeah, thank you so much for your call. I'm glad that we are on the same ADHD wavelength. And guys, don't feel scared about calling. It's just me. It's fine. It's fine.
Hello. My mom and I booked a trip out to California for the first week of January to experience the Gilmore Girls Universal Studios experience because of your review from last year. I would have never considered doing it, but we're huge Gilmore Girls fans, huge themed experiences fans, and most importantly, huge fans of you. And I am so excited to see what it's all about. So what tips do you have for this experience? Specifically, anything we have to eat, try, do, miss? Can't wait. Thank you so much. Bye.
I have to thank you because truly the highest honor of podcasting to me is when I get on the mic and I yell enthusiastically about something and you go, oh, this woman won't stop yelling about it. I think I should probably go do this. And then you actually book the trip. To me, I'm standing at like a Nobel ceremony and somebody is putting a medal over my head and I'm just smiling at the audience gleeful. Like, this is the highest honor and I thank you for that. So I consider it my duty, my obligation to make sure you are fully prepared for your visit to the Warner Brothers Studio Tour Hollywood as part of this Gilmore Girls activation. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we did a full episode on this a few weeks ago. I don't shut up about it. My whole feed at the time you're hearing this is all Gilmore Girls because it's basically a temporary theme park that they opened for 2 weeks in LA and I'm obsessed with it. But I'm really glad I held this call until I'd actually gone because there is a lot of stuff about this year that I want to make sure you know. I'm going to do my best to not bore anyone listening. I promise I will go through this quick and efficiently. Just consider this like a finals cram study session. And also, I think this is very interesting because what they've done this year is they've really expanded it, but they've gone from adding a little feature to the end of a studio tour to basically operating a state fair for 2 weeks. As you heard in that episode, they bring in plumbing, they bring in set dressing. Like, this is a bit of a circus in the good way and complicated way, which we will get into in a moment. But it is truly like a full event of its own now. And it's fascinating. And I want to make sure you know everything you need to know. So it is bigger than in years past. They've expanded. They rebuilt Miss Patty's, which is crazy. I was in Miss Patty's. I went to a fake town hall meeting in the actual Miss Patty's, in the actual Stars Hollow. Like, my brain was melting inside my skull. It made no sense. I looked out the window and it was like, oh my God, like there was Luke's. There was down the street. Like, you could almost see the gazebo. Like, if you're really in Stars Hollow, it's so bananas. Anyway, there's a lot of things happening this year. They've really kind of souped it up, but it is busier than ever before. They have introduced this FastPass system, but honestly, from what I've heard, I went the first day. I went to the media preview, which doesn't really count, but I went the first day of operation, which was kind of its own tricky bit. The first day at something like this, opening a town to thousands of people that doesn't exist, that never really opens, that is complicated on its own. So there's always kind of these growing pains the first day, but they also hosted a mega podcast recording with Scott Patterson, who plays Luke Danes on Gilmore Girls. And that meant people didn't want to leave the land because they wanted to stay for the late afternoon podcast recording. And once you leave, you can't really get back in. So there are a lot of stories out there that are like, it was wild. I had to wait over an hour for food. I couldn't get in a store. Like, there was a lot of stories like that. And I'm hoping that is very specific to that first day. From what I'm hearing, the lines are still extremely long for Lorelai's house, for taking a photo in front of it, and then also for going inside of Luke's diner. When I was there first thing, first day, it was, by the time I got to Luke's, it was a 2 hour line to get in, which is too long. Now they have this fast pass situation. You're still going to wait in a line. It's just going to be shorter than the posted line. I was clocking it out on day one at about an hour. By the time you go, things will be ironed out better. I'm pretty sure there'll be a better flow, but do prepare to wait more than any coverage from last year. You should prepare to be waiting in line for some of these things. Now, the thing I'm going to tell you, which I have not said on the internet because I don't want Warner Brothers Studios or Hollywood to come after me, is that there's a video I posted that is a guide. I posted on Instagram and TikTok. It's a, like, my guide to Stars Hollow. In that video, there are photos, there's little video clips of the signs that they have outside of Luke's and outside of Lorelai's house. Now, this secret might probably be out by the time the tour ends in January, but the QR code for the Fast Pass times are in that video. And I saw someone in the comments and I knew this could happen. And I was like, oh, okay, confirmed it can happen. You can take that and screenshot it and you can get access to the link for the Fast Passes and you can book them at like the end of your tour. So I would recommend doing that. That's what I'm going to plan on doing when I go on the tour in 2 days again. I'm going 4 times total. Yeah, I'm sick in the head and I don't care. They're making a fake theme park land themed to a show I love. Yeah, your girl's going to be there. So that's my first tip, is to make sure you have those two links for the Fast Passes handy so that you don't have to walk all the way there to see if it's active or take a screenshot. Like, you have it on your phone. You can do whatever. You can get in line for Lorelai's while you check, stuff like that. So prepare for that. Because you're going later, I want to make sure that you are mentally prepared at some of the stuff you saw online might have sold out by the time you got there. I'm recording this on Saturday. I went opening day Thursday. Yesterday, Friday, I saw a comment or something by Scott Patterson that, because he provides all the coffee for the land, his coffee company, he said they already had to bring in more cold brew. It had been open for a day and a half. So just be prepared that some stuff might not be there, but truly, like, take all the merchandise away, take all of the food away, all of it. Like, the magic there is to be in Stars Hollow. Being in the land, to me, is truly the most special part. I feel more like alive with glee walking around Stars Hollow, looking at that church and then looking at the gazebo. That brings me more joy than being in Luke's, I'll be honest. It really does. So just keep that in mind if at any point you're like stressed or frustrated or worried about anything. I would recommend budgeting as much time as possible. I would recommend bringing a hat if you're going during the day. Bring a water bottle, but it's not necessary. They did have water coolers with cups out, which I thought was a great touch. If you are going at night, make sure to bring a jacket or some sort of layer because LA can get cold at night. It's also so magical there at night. I'm going on the very last night. I'm so excited. Bring a snack just in case the food lines are long and you want to use that time to do something else. But really pack your patience because this is, again, a temporary location and they are definitely still managing the larger crowds this year. They sold a lot of tickets this year, and then they sold a Stars Hollow only ticket on top of it. So there are a lot of people there, and there's no forced exit time. You're basically, once you're in, and then you can leave whenever you want. So people do hang out for a while. So just having a little like protein snack on you isn't a bad idea. Treat it like a theme park day and really just try to soak it in. There's a lot of like, when I went on the first day, I was trip mom. I fully fell into Disney mode and I was like, gotta get a Fast Pass to Luke's, gotta sign up for the town hall meeting, gotta do this, gotta do that. And I kind of like stepped outside of the joy of it for a minute until I went with my friend Rachel and then Julia, guest of the pod, who was just on for Shrek's Ember, met up with us. And so we all got to like hang out and do stuff together, which was great. But my friend Rachel and I was a little like booking everything for everyone, like really had Disney brain come alive during it. And then we got a veggie burger and my friend Rachel and I sat on a bench between the church and the gazebo in freaking Stars Hollow. And we just split a veggie burger and tater tots and gabbed. And I was like, this is what this is all about. There's a lot of merchandising happening. And there's a lot of upsells at Dragonfly Inn this year. There's a lot of like, this also, the tea looks amazing. You like sit and get tea and you can sit outside. And like, there's little like the pastries looked good. There's a pasta that looks, not sure about it. But like, it looks, even the tea looks cute. Like, there's a lot of cute things you can do. There's a lot of more upsells this year than there used to be. I think it's great that they're investing more in it. Like, that's my take on it, that even if I don't want to spend an extra fee to like have a sit down dinner, at the end of the day, this is included with the best studio tour in Hollywood. And so the fact that like all of this, it's not like, oh, I paid $80 to get into Stars Hollow if you're going on the studio tour. It's like almost the same price typically any other time of the year. And then you just get all of this with it. So I don't want to be like, oh, you have to pay to get in the door and then they're charging this. Like, that's how I feel about dessert parties at Disneyland. Honestly, that's how I feel about Disneyland. Dessert parties in Florida, I feel differently about because I'm like, you're in the big show, the big fireworks. Fireworks aren't that big in Disneyland. So anyway, tangent, that's how I feel. Here, it's really interesting because like you got to just like, I just want to make sure your brain's in the right mindset. Like, this is a treat that we get to go to this and they're investing a lot of money in it, which is great for us because it means it's going to be around for a while. So if it's crowded, if you get a little like, you know, like, oh my God, these lines are so long. It's not what I anticipated. Just take a breath. Just remember that like you're standing in the legitimate Stars Hollow. Like, this is Stars Hollow. And just try to like take in the music, take in the scenery and enjoy. You have a fantastic time. The only tips I have are like really to, yeah, just everything I've already told you, to be prepared. And enjoy, have so much fun. I'm going 4 times. I love it so much. Just treat it like a theme park day and you're going to have a blast. I hope you have so much fun. And maybe I'll see you there if our days are the same. And thank you for listening to me. Truly, I appreciate it so much.
Carly, this is Tammy from Ohio, and I'm just calling to stand up for Cruella. She never actually killed any puppy. Okay? Maybe just need to rewatch the movies. She may have thought about it, tried to, intended to, but she never actually killed any puppies. No puppies were harmed in the making of any of her codes or films. I just wanted to clarify that. Thought I'd clear that up. Justice for Cruella. Very, very misunderstood Disney villain. That is all. Thank you for listening. Have a good one.
Tammy. Now here's the thing. I could have sworn that I responded to this call. I felt it in my bones. But then I went back through all of the episodes since you made this call in November, and I can't find it anywhere, which means that I actually had a full narrative in my head response to you that I just never said out loud. So I've been ruminating on this for a minute. And Tammy, we're talking revisionist history here, okay? Cruella is not a hero. Now, did I adore her on the high seas? Yes. Would I be nervous if there was a service dog nearby? You bet I would be. But Cruella is a villain, categorically, period. And I know Emma Stone played her wonderfully. My mom and I rewatched the movie on the cruise because we were so like in a villain mindset. And while I did really like her in that movie, I'm sorry, intent to murder is still a crime from the rudimentary law knowledge I have gathered from watching too many episodes of Suits, Law and Order SVU, and particularly Matlock. Why have I watched every episode of the reboot of Matlock? I cannot tell you. Do I enjoy it? Not particularly. And yet every week, like clockwork, I'm like, oh, those two girlies are going to get up to some drama again. The story never goes anywhere. There's just them scurrying around trying to keep secrets every freaking week. And yet with that level of law knowledge, I know I'm right. I know that the intent is still a crime. We can't trust her. She's a villain. And I don't think it's bananas for me to round up and say she kills puppies. She wants to kill many puppies and she wants to wear them as a coat, which is pretty sick and twisted. So I stand by it. I'm sorry, Tammy, but I stand by it. Thank you for your call. She is misunderstood, but like, would you let her walk your dog? There you go.
Time and I'm cold, okay? Yeah, I'm in LA, but I'm cold. I'm shivering. I'm recording this with a blanket over my shoulders. And as someone who spent her entire college years in a tip-to-tail, full-body puffy coat, there is no need to spend your winters looking like a walking sleeping bag, okay? You can still be chic without feeling the chill because of Quince. From Mongolian cashmere sweaters to Italian wool coats, even the phrase Italian wool coats is chic. Everything here is premium quality at a price point you'll actually be excited about. Need some layers to refresh your winter wardrobe? Nab some soft Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50 that look and feel like designer pieces. Have endless holiday events that are all vaguely professional? They've got everything you need, like silk tops and skirts for dressing up. Each piece is made with premium materials and is elevated, timeless, and made to wear on repeat. But the sweaters? The sweaters are taking me out. I cannot decide which color of the Mongolian cashmere oversized crew neck that I am committing to because I picked up the brown one and I am tempted by the others. And I can't buy all of them, but honestly, at this price point, I could definitely buy a few. But I am going to pair it with bike shorts, which you know I also got here. I'm also going to pair my sweater with fancy event pants. They will take you through your entire schedule. This garment will go with everything. And that is how I feel about so many of Quince's luxe staples. And we rarely talk about this, but you guys, they're not just clothes. They've got kids' sleep sacks. They've got fine jewelry. They're out here. They're selling diamonds. They've also got luxury skincare. It's a digital department store of one-stop shopping you can't go wrong with. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them, because sometimes you're buying them for yourself with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. It's also now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. And get that sweater in brown, and then we'll be twins! We're eating good this winter because you and I are smart enough to know we gotta be using EveryPlate. You don't need to spend a ton of money on groceries or your whole night in the kitchen to make food you want to eat at home, because EveryPlate gives you restaurant-level deliciousness without having to pay for valet. You know what I had for lunch today? Tuna. A can of tuna! Not even tuna salad! Because I have no condiments at home, because I dread going grocery shopping. I was out of town, I thought I would be on top of things, and I wasn't. But EveryPlate sets you up for success and saves you from eating a sad can of tuna like you are a cat when you are an adult woman. EveryPlate meals are exceptionally tasty. They're easy to make, easy to follow recipes, and way better than anything I would cook up myself without them. Again, I don't want to go to the grocery store, and they're doing all of it for you, because EveryPlate's constantly rotating weekly recipes will be delivered right to your door, so you'll always have the best answer to what's for dinner. You'll spend less on those flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on your normal groceries or at a restaurant. And you can up your dinner game in 30 minutes or less with EveryPlate's clear, easy-to-follow recipes. And frankly, take it from me, you will cook better than you ever have before. I'm just not willing to buy a $7, $9, $11 condiment for a single recipe that I'll use once and never do again. I'm also not out here perusing the internet to find a recipe in the grand ocean of recipes that exist out there. Let me tell you what, I don't even want to look for this stuff because I don't want to mess with my very perfect algorithm. It keeps giving me really good shopping websites, like really good clothes and stuff that I want. I've put this much effort in liking and saving things. It knows me now. And if I start adding food in, it's going to ruin everything. EveryPlate solves all these problems. It meets me where I am, at home and hungry. And if you haven't tried EveryPlate yet, you've heard me yap about it. You should give it a try. So really, what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy this special offer of only $1.99 per meal. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use the code AMUSING199 to get started. Applied as discount on first box, limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast with the code AMUSING199. Happy eating!
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by CHEV.
Hey, Carly. Jen from Massachusetts here. Just got back about a month ago from a Disney World trip. As soon as our flight home landed, my nephew, who turned 5 on this trip, out of the blue said, okay, when are we going on a Disney cruise? Something we'd never talked about or even considered. Right after that, your Disney Destiny episode came out, and now I've started down the DCL rabbit hole. And I know nothing about this part of Disney. Looking at potentially going in 2027, possibly January on the Fantasy or February on the Wish, maybe even doing Disney World before or after, but I feel so lost. I can plan Disney World without even thinking, but this is so different. Can you give all the cruise info, like a DCL 101 class? Differences in the ships, how to pick a room, how long to go, how to decide what to do all day, all the basics, and how to plan it all out. I need all the Carly DCL wisdom you have to share. Thanks so much.
Jen, welcome to your future Disney Cruise Line obsession. It is my honor to welcome you into my virtual lecture hall and to tell you a little too much information about what exactly is going on here. Now, you know, like, there are many people listening who haven't been on Disney Cruise Line. I know some people have crossed over with me advocating for it. So just let me reiterate.
Yet if you love Disney parks, if you love like what this company offers in terms of vacation, you're gonna love Disney Cruise Line, because it's the magic of Disney with the ease of actually going on vacation. Now, there are a lot of things out there. I'm sure you feel overwhelmed, and I just want to justify you for a minute, because a few years ago, you would not have been feeling this way. They have essentially doubled their fleet, and then they're going to double it again. So you're coming in at a time where it is a little chaotic, because they have released ships at a very fast clip and catching up on what the 7 or 8, if you include the Adventure out of Singapore, but I don't think we're starting there, so we'll just stick to the 7. Like, there's a lot of ships, and there's a lot that has come out recently, and I'm totally with you that it is a bit overwhelming, but I am here to help. Now, if you are deciding between a newer and an older ship, or which is the best fit for you, or anything like that, do not worry, because I got you. Past Carly has you covered. We actually did an entire episode about this, which I'll admit on Maine, I forgot about until I was like, wait, I feel like I've done this. And then I like wrote a little outline and was like, wait, I've definitely done this. And then I remembered the episode. Now, the title of it is misleading. I should update it, but it's called Your Disney Cruise Line Questions Answered. That podcast episode will be linked in the show notes. Just click on that. And it basically answers all of your questions with full research. So if you are looking for a jumping off point with like my hot takes and thoughts and strongly held opinions about how to choose a cruise ship, if you want a big ship or a small ship, how long to cruise for, where to cruise, or like even which Disney Island destination to choose, that podcast has all of that. Consider it like the Wikipedia entry for how I feel about the fleet as a whole. And I know it sounds like a lot right now, but I promise, give that episode a listen and you will feel like you have a better grip on it by the end. It is, again, it is a lot. It is not you. And I want to make sure that you are just feeling calm and cool and collected as you embark on, like, honestly, like peak Disney vacationing. Now, that answers, I think, about half of your questions. But there is another episode I'm going to link to in the show notes that I recommend you check out. That is my favorite Disney Cruise Line tips and tricks. And that's kind of like a bonus once you parse out what you might like to do on DCL. But there are some trickier questions that you alluded to, like, do I connect this to a Disney World vacation? What should I do? And I would say it comes down to your gut. If you are traveling with people who you think like dragging them to two different destinations, you know, like going to the port and going to the parks, if you think that is too much for your friends, your family, like anyone you're traveling with, then you can just go on the cruise and it's totally fine. The newest ship, which we reported on the Disney Destiny, doesn't sail out of anywhere near Orlando. My trick is that whenever I go to Port Canaveral, I'm like, I'm flying in Orlando anyway. I can't not go to a theme park. And I get trapped every time. It ends up being like an 8-day trip and I go to the parks and I'm always exhausted by the end. But because if I'm near the parks, I have to go. But This was my first time sailing out of Port Everglades. Yes, that's what it's called. Out of the port that's in Fort Lauderdale. And last time I did that, I drove to Disney World. You can also take the Bright Line quite easily. But I flew in, went on the cruise and flew home. And I actually really liked it. Usually I'm like, I'm so close to Disney World. I flew across the country. I gotta go. But I kind of liked being restricted to just the cruise. I did the cruise. I had a blast. I headed home. I felt fulfilled. It was really nice. So it really is personal preference. And having done it with Pearl, it is a lot to be like, if there are children, to like have all the kids stuff and like deal with all of that when there are youths aboard. But it is absolutely personal preference, and both options are great. But I mean, I'm going to a theme park. If I'm near a theme park, I cannot help myself. The last thing I need to discuss is how to pick a room where on the ship to sleep. And the truthful answer is I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea, because that is what I use MEI Mouse Fan Travel for. That is what they're worth their weight in gold, except the gold is free when you work with them. I know that we talk about them on other portions of this podcast, but I just want to emphasize that travel agents, all travel agents, have such expertise specifically about cruises that like you can't find on the internet on your own. They dedicate so much time and research to seeing the different room types, knowing which rooms are different from others on the ship. They know these ships inside and out, and they can help you navigate all room types, all room locations, and really break down the costs for you. I genuinely, like, I don't have that knowledge base. And they really do. And one other thing is that when I just recently saw Becky, oh my God, I've only seen Becky on water, not land, the past few times I've seen her. Is she Is she a mermaid? I mean, when I record with her, I know she's in her office, but I've only seen Becky in person on land. I mean, on a ship. Wow. Ariel vibes. Anyway, Becky told me that there are always major travel discounts in January. So if you're listening to this when it comes out, I want to make sure you reach out sooner than later to a travel agent. I mean, if you want to reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel, I swear by them. They've booked cruises for me and they knock it out of the park. But if you want to save money and kind of book something soon, definitely reach out. But truly, if we're just starting to think about Disney Cruise Line, listen to those podcast episodes, you know, like take it in. I would say check out like YouTube tours of the ships. There are a lot of those which can be really helpful. But really, just get excited to be a Disney Cruise Line person because it's so much fun. I looked back on this year and was like, I report on cruises? Like, it didn't even click in my brain that I report on cruises. Because to me, most of the time, I'm like, oh, it's just Disney. I did go on Royal Caribbean this year, and that was pretty dope. It was fun. But like, to me, I'm like, oh, I'm just at another Disney park that happens to be floating. It's so much fun. I can't wait for you to enjoy it. And I'm so grateful. I mean, I'm truly grateful that your five-year-old nephew kind of planted the seed that's going to blossom into a beautiful, fruitful tree. Thank you for calling. And if you have any specific questions along the way, don't hesitate to call. I would be happy to answer them in full. Happy sailing.
Hey, Carly. This is Ashley Seams from Florida. I'm a huge fan. I'm actually calling in because I just listened to the Disney Destiny episode, and something that I don't think you covered was the 18 and over area on that cruise line ship and that family of cruise line ships. And I want to point out that there's a part of that that is very annoying to me as someone who travels without kids, in that that is right next to the Aqua Mouse exit, and you get the announcement over and over and over again. And I think my biggest critique of that boat is that the adults-only area is not big enough, and it's also not peaceful enough. Thanks. Hope you have a great day. Bye.
Hi, Ashley. Thank you so much for your call. And I just need to preemptively apologize for the state of my voice. As I mentioned, I'm recording this podcast over multiple days because my voice has not completely come back. And this is the worst I think it sounds in the entire episode. And I just started recording. I went to Disneyland all day with Pearl, and she just was not understanding the concept of a line today. So all day I was like, Pearl, come here. Pearl, Pearl, Pearl. Don't climb in that. Don't climb in that. Pearl, 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 Pearl. The whole day. And I'm just now realizing how much I did that because almost no sound is coming out. That said, I need sound to come out because I need to back you up here because yeah, you are absolutely right. This is a complaint that I heard firsthand on the very first sailing of the Disney Wish from friends who cruise a lot as solo adults. They were in this area. I went to go say hi to them and they were like, this is crazy. So you were absolutely right. I have mentioned it, I think, in the Disney Wish recap episode, maybe in the episode that is in the show notes about all the cruises, but thank you for bringing this up because it also reminded me of something else we have to talk about, which put a pin in, we will come back to later. But yes, the 18 and over adult, like outdoor pool deck areas on the newer class of Disney ships is different and not entirely in a positive way, according to people who really know this product as someone who spends time in the adult areas. What you said is absolutely true. You hear the Aqua Mouse and that's not really the vibe. My complaint about this area is that it is very hard to find. This is a bigger ship than what we're used to. And it is very tricky to me to actually find the entrance to this space. It's kind of like a horseshoe, if you can imagine that, but you can only enter from one side. You can't exit from the other side. If that has changed, let me know. But I fully walked all the way through the sports court. My first and I think second time I tried to get here on two different ships. I walked through the sports court and went to a door and it was like, cast members only, dude. And I was like, how do I get to Cove Cafe? Now, I since then have learned that like, girly, you can get an espresso at the bars near like the middle of the ship. Like there are places to get coffee. There's also a great coffee shop that's right by Marceline's Market. But my brain for so long has been like Cove Cafe coded. And so I would just be like, I need espresso and like couldn't get there. That has been my gripe about the adult spaces. I've also heard that it's very crammed. That like beautiful infinity pool, which I have spent time in when people are on Castaway, just being like, oh, I'm going to soak it up while no one's here. I've heard it does get people soupy. There are things that people have said about this area. That said, for me with Disney Cruise Line, it always comes back to there are pros and there are cons to each ship because this is a completely different ship. And
without this area, which some people don't like as much as the area on other older ships, we wouldn't have things like a Frozen themed restaurant. We wouldn't have Seize the Adventure. We wouldn't have some really, really cool stuff. So I do think it is a trade-off. Now, I don't spend a lot of time in adult-only areas. Even if I am on a Disney cruise, and this is before I had a kid, even if I'm on a Disney cruise with my family, I'm not chilling. I'm working. I'm always walking around, taking videos, taking content. Like I have work brain. I don't know what it's like to go on a Disney vacation and truly let go. I don't know what it's like. Now, I love to work. I love what I do. And so to me, it's like a heightened version of a trip, which is why I love it, because I don't like to relax. But I completely understand what you're saying. Now, I've always thought it was weird that the adult-only areas on the older ships have people going through them all ding-dong day. Like, there's just people cutting through. I always thought that was weird, but I genuinely don't think that seems to bother other people. It really doesn't seem to. So I hear what you're saying, and I do agree with you. And I'm sorry that you've had to experience this, because that's not very relaxing. I get it. But the thing that I need to tell you about, which, oh my Lord, you guys, I am so ashamed that I have not done this. It was on my to-do list. I transferred from a paper to-do list to a digital to-do list when I was really in crunch time in December, and it was a huge mistake. But I needed to update our Disney Destiny episode, because I, at no point in that episode, mentioned explicitly that DeVille's, where Troublemakers, one of the experiences I was obsessed with on the ship, I never explicitly mentioned that DeVille's is 18 up 100% of the time. Now, I fact-checked this when I got off the ship. I got an email back in November. I'm like looking at this email thread with my PR person and I'm horrified. This is when we finished our conversation on December 1st, okay? It's Christmas. It's Christmas. I am so sorry, you guys, that I did not mention this earlier. I will be updating this episode ASAP, but I just want to reiterate that on the Disney Destiny, DeVille's is the only lounge that is adults only for the entire day. So people under, oh, sorry, that's my sleepy time alarm on my watch, if you heard that. So people under 18 can't do Troublemakers. I feel horrible. I'm sorry I didn't mention it sooner, but I didn't really think it through, because even places like the Haunted Mansion Bar or the Star Wars inspired bar on the Disney Wish, those families can enter until 9 p.m. and then they transition into adult only. This one is adult only. So maybe the silver lining is that, like, yeah, you got to hear the Aquamouse, but again, pros and cons. Pros and cons, you get to do Troublemakers, and Troublemakers is fantastic. Thank you for sharing your input. I appreciate this. You are 100% correct. And I hope to talk to you about Disney Cruise Line again soon. Okay, bye.
Hi, Carly. My name is Ilana from Phoenix, and I have a mini mystery for you. I was in Disney World last month, and while I was waiting in line for Tiana's Bayou Adventure, I noticed these little birdhouse-looking things on the top of these wooden poles. They were all different colors and designs, but didn't seem to have a purpose that I could figure out. Do you know what these are or what they're for? Love the podcast. Thanks.
Hi. Okay. Thank you so much for calling about this, because yeah, nobody's talking about these birdhouses and we need to be talking about these little birdhouses more. It is my understanding that they are essentially the updated attractions homage to the birdhouses that used to be in the queue when the ride was Splash Mountain. They just kind of redid them, but still honor them by having birdhouses there. And that's why you were seeing them in the queue. Nothing too shocking, nothing too kooky. They just changed the style to fit the narrative of this ride. And yeah, they're cute. They're really cute. I've never seen a bird over there. I wonder if you did, but yeah, just a little thing to kind of honor the ride that was there before and to carry that tradition through. Thank you for calling. This is a fun one to answer.
Hi, Carly. This is Ellen, formerly of Houston, now of Virginia. My husband and I recently got back from a Japan trip, and your Tokyo episodes were so helpful for our planning, and we just had the best time. While I am hurt by your ranking of Hollywood Studios, I realize it's more because there's a lot of stuff I like in it and less that I think it's a cohesive park. To both of those points, I would like to know, what is your dream retheme of Tower of Terror in Orlando? I personally like the Twilight Zone, but the thing I'm most attached to is the haunted hotel of it all. And Tokyo manages to make that work with the Harrison Hightower theme. Also, my husband would love to know if you have any recommendations for Tokyo Disney merch he can buy from the States, because it kind of struck out in person. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Bye.
Hi, Ellen. Thank you so much for calling. And I truly, it is my honor to help you plan your trips, specifically theme park trips, just because I like them the most. And I'm so glad that my episodes were helpful in your travels. Now, I apologize for hurting your feelings, my ranking of Hollywood Studios, even though I stand behind it. But I gotta say, when posed with a question of like, also I'm answering this, like, I this is not ChatGPT, okay? This is Carly WSL. It's late at night. I don't know. That did not land. But I just want to make sure I'm like, I don't want to skip anything. I don't want to skip anything. So sometimes I have to go like thing you mentioned by thing you mentioned, line by line. Okay. So the thing is, like, Hollywood Studios, it's a fart. I don't love it. But there's kind of nothing else I would want Tower of Terror in Orlando to be. I am not a storyteller in the likes of someone at Walt Disney Imagineering, but it just, I don't know. Like, I feel like they've changed so much lately that I think changing Twilight Zone would just, I think it would be a bridge too far for a lot of us. I think it would be too far. If they have a great idea, like, let him cook. I'm curious to see what it is. But I don't know. I really feel pretty, like, arms tied behind my back in this one. Like, I really don't know. I don't have anything. Because also your story has to, like, fit with going up and down and then going through. And I'm kind of like, I don't want to, like, have some Marvel-y conceit for, like, oh, we're going through a time portal. Like, I don't want that. I guess Tower of Terror is kind of like the best version I can think of it right now. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I want that, unless they, I'm sure they'd dream up something cool. But yeah, I stand behind it for now, even though that park is not my favorite. Now, Tokyo Disney merch. This is something I can give you a definitive answer on. I've been saying this is happening to me maybe for like a couple of years now, that I've gone to the parks, and the way I explain it is that I arrive at a time that is between merch drops, when merch like comes out on a certain day or like a certain, like a week, there's an assigned schedule. And I have gotten there between where, like, oh, they dropped new merch 3 weeks ago and new merch isn't here for a week and a half. And there's not really anything I want. And there is this real strong messaging coming back from overseas that, like, oh, the merch in Japan is amazing. You're going to buy everything. I think what's happening here, and this is anecdotal, but I think what's happening here is that, one, resale has become increasingly more popular in the last 5 years. Two, tourism to Japan has become increasingly popular in the last 5 years. And, that's it, one and two. And so I think that stuff is getting scooped up faster by resale people, and also more often because more people are traveling there. I think that is why you can possibly show up to the Tokyo parks and be like, everything here is cool, but, like, I'm not really buying anything that I thought would knock my socks off, because those items might already be gone. Now, there is a website that I have used in the past to buy merchandise, not just from Tokyo, but all over overseas. It's called US Shopping SOS. Let me make sure I didn't give you too many S's in there. USShoppingSOS.com. They're great. I've used them before, so I vouch for them. I do have a bone to pick that, in answering your question, as the journalist that I am now like 8 tabs deep on this website, just looking at things I absolutely do not need and looking at things that I've passed up before. Like, oh my God, they have Duffy in a tiger costume. Not Tigger, but like Tiger from like the Chinese Zodiac from Shanghai Disneyland. It is amazing. But like, the prices are high. The prices are, I would say, at least twice what you would pay in the park. At least, like right now I am looking at, oh no, I found something I'm going to buy. What have you done to me? I was going to say, I'm looking at an $83 Duffy and Friends collectible container of minifigures. And like, yeah, I would love my kid to play with Lena Bell, because she knows who Lena Bell is. She sleeps with 3 Lena Bells. Okay. I'm raising her right. But I can't be spending $83 on a plastic container of toys. However, I do have adult money, and I can be spending $40 on a Duffy and Friends passport holder. Now, I swear by my Jelly Belly jelly bean passport holder. I love it. It is my favorite thing. I love putting my passport in it, but it is basically shredding from the inside. It is falling apart. Oh, wait, I already have a Gelatoni one. What am I talking about? I'm sorry. No, I'm just talking to myself. I have a Gelatoni passport holder. I don't need this. Pearl was using that, but then I bought her a Stony Clover Lane one, which I love. And so, yeah, I'm fine. Ooh, I have resisted yet again. But yeah, prices are pretty high. I mean, to give you an idea, a basic Duffy keychain, $36. Duffy pajamas, $98. Like, they're pretty high. They're pretty up there. And I do feel like they are more expensive than they used to be in the past. So just keep that in mind. But if you are in search of like one or two special items from the parks that you didn't really find while you were there, check out this website. And I don't think you need to have like, ooh, gotten it in Tokyo while you were there. Like, I think that you will be happy with what you got. And it may cost a little more, but then you'll get exactly what you want. And that is nice. It's nice to have exactly what you want. I hope this was helpful. My voice is giving out, so I'm going to end this one. But yeah, I struck out in person as well, like you mentioned, and it's a bummer. And I've been hearing it more and more lately. And so I do think those are the reasons why it's happening. But the merch is still great. It's just, I used to find treasures when I went and be like, oh my God, stuff I'd never seen before anywhere. And now I think just the confluence of the internet and social media and everything being sold everywhere. Like, I was thinking about this the other day that, like, I went to a vintage market. It was like a pop-up vintage market. It was horrible. Okay. It was supposed to be like the best vintage sellers in LA. It was all extremely overpriced designer luxury vintage at prices that were eye-watering. I left. I didn't buy a single thing. I was tempted by one thing that I then realized, oh, this is not even vintage. It was absolutely made 5 years ago in a factory. Like, it, bonkers. But the reason I'm saying this is because I haven't really felt like I've had a good thrift store experience in a really long time. And I think it's because when I was younger, I used to thrift in like Chicago. I used to thrift at school in Illinois. And the audience, like the customer base, was anybody who could physically walk in the door. That was it. That was it. And now every single store, their customer base is every single person in the entire freaking world. So prices are higher because we were in a college town when I bought a lot of my early vintage stuff. And like, you can't charge what like New York prices in a town like that. Now everything's been equalized. Like, I used to work at a vintage store in New York called Shireen. It was amazing. It was a job I took because I started freelancing and I realized I spent every single day antisocial sitting at home and I was losing my mind. And so I took a job. I think it was like 9 hours, 9 or 10 hours a week. Like, it was a couple nights. It was just to like get out of the house. I ended up making a few of my closest friends there. Hi, Julia, who listens to the podcast every week. I love you. I like made friends for life through this random job, but I really miss it more and more as time goes on because they sold quirky, fun vintage things. A lot of the vintage dresses I wear are from Shireen. They had a store in LA, which was amazing. It was a warehouse. It was just so great. But Shireen, I've noticed a lot of patterns like this happening in different industries. Like, it used to go and it used to be a nice experience and there wasn't really online sales and everything, you know, stock was limited and sales were limited to whoever walked in the door. And now that anybody can buy anything anywhere, the prices have skyrocketed for so many vintage things, like to an astronomical level they really shouldn't be at. And I feel that something similar is happening to the theme park international merchandise playing field. I feel like a lot of people, maybe not even like resellers for a living, but people will go to Tokyo. I assume they buy a bunch of stuff and then they come home and like toss a few things on eBay. And that just means there's not a lot of stock left for when people just casually go on a trip. I think that's something that over the past few years, the way the internet has changed, it has shaped things like this in a way you didn't anticipate. Now, when you go to Tokyo, you're going to buy a bunch of stuff, but it is something I haven't really talked about that I really feel like is informing what you experienced on your trip. That said, I hope you had a great time. Tokyo is amazing. I miss it already. I was there this year, but this year was a whirlwind, so it feels like it never happened. We also went for like 3 days. Who goes to Tokyo for 3 days when you have a young child? What were we thinking? That was not a good idea. I pushed for it, but it was not a good idea. We were so tired. And then we came home and we're like, oh, now we're back to full-time jobs and parenting. Cool, cool, cool. Anyway, I'm on a tangent. I have no more voice. I hope you had a blast. Let me know if you find something on US Shopping SOS. I really like it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go shop on it. You convince me. I convince myself. Okay, bye.
Becky, welcome back. Tell me more of what you got for deals, deals, deals.
Well, of course, DCL, Disney Cruise Line, is still offering their 50% off their deposit that's due at time of booking. So that's a really good one if you're kind of strapped for cash right now, but you really want to get a good gift for your family. You can get 50% off the deposit, and that's for cruises between March 2026 and even into May 27th. So you got a little bit there. If your perfect vacation includes a pineapple and an umbrella, then you got something at Alani, because they are having their 25% off stays up to 5 nights or longer. And that is for most nights, January 4th, all the way to April 9th.
Ooh.
So another great idea to go and hang out with your family in a wonderful location. Now, remember when I was saying those Black Friday sales?
Yeah.
Here's one really quick. It's coming up right now. You can book by December 8th. And this is actually Celebrity Cruise Lines. You can save up to 75% off the second guest, believe it or not, or 50% off their second guest for the refundable fares, and the non-refundable fares are 75. So guess what, too? Free third, fourth, and fifth guest on their Black Friday sale.
Oh, everybody's coming.
I know. And imagine this. This is just one supplier, and they're now just starting to roll out these Black Friday sales, so keep your eye on them. Last but not least, we have an exclusive offer for Royal Caribbean. Up to $100 onboard credit for staterooms that are booked by December 8th of this year. And that is valid on sailings that are all through 2026.
Oh my gosh.
I know. You can cruise, you can go to Alani, you can sip on a pineapple, you can have a great time in Walt Disney World, all at discounted rates.
Wow, Becky, thank you so much for blessing us with these discounts, and I can't wait to hear what's ahead if this is what we got now.
I know. Again, watch those Black Friday sales, because that's going to be a key.
I love you, MEI Mouse Fan Travel.
Back at you.
That's our show! Once again, I apologize for not being able to put enough sauce on that, but I'm so grateful for you listening, and thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this Churros Hotline episode. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also comment there. Please don't hold it against us that my throat is all busted. Truly did not expect it to take 2 weeks for my voice to come back. Do I talk that much? I guess I talk that much, but it would be yikes if it wasn't my job, right? I think it's totally fine. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS, as is evidenced quite clearly from this episode. Keep those calls coming. I'm happy to answer any question. And truly, no question is too small. Even if it's like, I want to eat at Chef Mickey's and my friends want to eat at Crystal Palace, let me settle it for you. And also, I'm not going to tell you about Chef Mickey's unless you don't have a park ticket. And then it's like, okay, you do get a little more of a theme park experience if you do a character breakfast outside the park. But depending on what day it is, I would maybe kind of steer you somewhere else, possibly even like an Ohana, because then you can like get more out of that resort, I think, than just being at the Contemporary. You can always take them on rail over. And then also you can go to Four Seasons, and then it's a much better breakfast experience, but the character costumes are not as good because they all look like they're about to go golfing. Anyway, see? I'm happy to answer any question. No question is too small or too big, truly. I gotta thank my guys and gals over at MEI Mouse Fan Travel for making this podcast and Amusapalooza possible. I would say, in the trenches, if it wasn't all entirely fun. I am in it with planning everything about Amusapalooza right now. I have a whiteboard that I'm looking at. I got things underlined. I got things crossed out. Like, we are making progress. There's going to be so much fun ahead, and I cannot wait to share it with all of you. And none of this would be happening without MEI Mouse Fan Travel, because if they can plan a trip this big with me, the most difficult person possible to work with, they can plan your trip no problem. They are wonderful to work with. They cost you nothing, and they will do all the work for you for free. It's kind of like, sounds too good to be true, but it's true, because I make them plan all my trips and everybody wins. Like, it truly, it's just wonderful. So if you are thinking about planning a trip to Universal, to Disney, a cruise, Royal Caribbean, anything, or if, even if you can't decide between different stuff, you want to get pricing. You're like, hey, that random room I've always dreamed of at this hotel, when would be a good time to stay there? Anything you want, they got you. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing and let them book your trips. Truly, they are the best. I love them so much. Follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Join the Foamily at facebook.com/groups/CarlyWiesel and subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel, 99 cents a month. I'm posting a lot of stuff on there, and there's a lot of stuff these days, which subscribers know, I can't post on main. Like, I just can't have it be out to a group of like, where anyone in the entire world could see it. So it is like a safe little haven. It's a safe little community, and I love posting on there. So consider subscribing, 99 cents a month. Would love to have you there. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon. good. Oh, that's so weak. I'm sorry. My voice will be back. It'll be back by 2026. I promise.
Hi, honey. Oh, what a fun episode. Okay, Julia Prescott, wow, 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 writer, director, comedian. She's so funny. She's so talented, and she sounds so delightful talking with you. The two of you are like friends, I'm sure. Shrek Temper does not disappoint. This was so much fun. I'm amazed how you find this talent. I can't even. And Julia said she was dreaming about this. I thought that was so cute. This was such a great episode, so fun. And I can't wait till you and I go and see all these things together. I know she said to go alone, but that's going with me. It's fine. I love you so much, Carly, and I love you, Pearl. See you next week. Bye.